Good morning. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's also the Sunday closest to the Feast of St. Patrick, so that's traditionally when we do blessings of animals. So we have some animal blessing liturgy in the service today. There are some animals up on the communion table. I don't know if you saw. There's a dog and a chicken for Petaluma, right? And I have a poem that I'd like to read you as a little preparation for worship meditation. This poem is called Little Citizen, Little Survivor. It's by Hayden Carruth. A brown rat has taken up residence with me. A little brown rat with pinkish ears and lovely almond-shaped eyes. He and his wife live in the woodpile by my back door, and they are so equal, I cannot tell which is which when they poke their noses out of the crevices among the sticks of firewood and then venture farther in search of sunflower seeds spilled from the feeder. I can't tell you, my friend, how glad I am to see them. I haven't seen a fox for years, or a mink, or a fisher cat, or an eagle, or a porcupine. I haven't seen any of my old company of the woods and the fields, we who used to live in such close affection and admiration. Well, I remember when the coons would tap on my window, when the ravens would speak to me from the edge of their little precipice. Where are they now? Everyone knows. Gone. Scattered in the terrible dispersal. But at least the brown rat, that most people so revile and fear and castigate, has brought his wife to live with me. Again, welcome, little citizen, little survivor. Lend me your presence, and I will lend you mine.
Thank you.
Welcome again. The peace of Christ be with you. We have a couple of announcements before we begin. Today at 2 o'clock, out on the lawn, I will be blessing animals. If you have a pet that you would like, pet or companion, friend, that you would like to bring by, I'll be happy to be blessing them for the joy that they bring you in your lives. Next week starts our stewardship campaign. That's very exciting. It's a 3-week long campaign. The theme is the joy of generosity, joy of giving. Generosity, the joy of generosity. I should know this, right? A big announcement, the last Sunday of October, it's October 31st, Halloween Sunday, we will not be worshiping live here because the California-Nevada annual conference of the United Methodist Church is meeting that weekend in Sacramento, and Sunday is the last day. So none of the pastors will be available for worship because we'll be at annual conference. So the conference will be recording and live streaming a worship service that you are all, and I'll send out that link. It's also on the conference will be on the conference website. But I'll be reminding you every Sunday, and I'll also send something out closer so you know. Let us pray.
Most High, most glorious Lord, enlighten the shadows of our hearts. Grant us right and true faith, certain hope, and perfect charity, feeling and understanding of you, so that we may be able to accomplish your holy and just command. Amen.
Amen. Our please, opening, oh, I'm sorry.
Please stand for the opening hymn, if you may.
You'll notice that hymnals have magically reappeared. You are welcome to follow the lyrics in the hymnal, although I don't know what number it is because it's not here. But the words are in your bulletins. The return of the hymnal does not signify time to sing out. We would prefer that you still hum for now or sing softly, but in a perhaps over cautious, but understandable, we are refraining from still singing for now until we get a nice clear signal that it's okay. But it's good to read the words and reflect on them, right? There's good theology.
Thank you.
Please join me in a prayer of confession. We confess, God of every person, how easy it is to think that our way of being your church is your true way. And so, we believe we have no reason to hear your name spoken in another language. We are sure we don't need to learn songs that have tunes which sound dissonant to us. We believe that our baptism, our communion, our beliefs are the ones closest to your heart. And so we close our hearts, eyes, and hands to those around us. Forgive us, gracious God, and have mercy. Remind us that while there may be many types of bread, there is that one love which has been broken for us. Remind us that while there might be wine or juice offered, there is one life which has been poured out for us. Remind us that while some remain seated, some come forward, and others dance, there is one table offered to us by your grace through Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior. Amen.
Beloveds, hear this good news. In little churches with wide open windows, in ancient buildings echoing with the songs and prayers of generations, in buildings that do not look like sanctuaries, the same good news is proclaimed. God is love. And that love forgives us, redeems us, restores us. And the beloved community responds. Amen.
God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. I'm reading from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Amen.
This scripture passage is very, it's very grand and transcendent, right? The heavens are telling the glory. The firmament proclaims. And yet, as we spoke last week, as you might recall, we talked about how sometimes these sacraments are lifted up a little too much, where they become almost inaccessible, right? Communion happening once a month becomes so special and precious that it's almost like it's locked in a china closet and we can only take it out every now and then and not really recognize and feel and share the imminence, the closeness of it, right? This is an action that should be participated in all the time, whenever we're together, to remind us that God is, yes, above all, but also here in these spaces between us. That was Jesus' mission on earth. Jesus, God incarnate, comes to bring God to us, to be one of us, to show us what it is like to be and live in community with God and each other. I think another way that God shows us, right, because we're a little dense. Sometimes we need to be told in more than one way, more than one time, over and over again. And I think that that's one of the reasons that God has given us animal companions. I had a dog, I had her for a year. When I was in Oakland, the day after Christmas, I decided I'm getting a dog. I'm a pastor, I should have a dog, you know, I'm alone and I would like the company. So I was online, the Berkeley Animal Shelter. You know, you can go online and they show you pictures of the animals that are available. So I looked at all the dogs and I found this little dog, must have been about this big. Her name was Cheese. And I thought to myself, that's the one I want. I'm gonna get Cheese. So I went to the shelter and they took me to her. She was tiny and super nervous. I went into, you know, they have them in like little rooms, right? So I went into the room and she was back in the corner. And when I reached out, she was shaking like a leaf. So they gave me like a little, you know, treat to give her to try, you know, food always works for me. So I give her this little thing and she, you know, gingerly comes up and takes it out of my hand and then goes right back to her. And she's shaking like a leaf. I was like, there is no way that I could take this dog home. I'm going to give her a heart attack before she even gets home. Let's look around and see what other dogs are here. So I walk around and have you been to a shelter? Those dogs are not happy. You know, and they're all in the back in the corner and they're not holding their heads up, but you know, they're like in the back in the corner, except for this one dog, who as soon as I walked in front of the door, came running up and she was happy and she was leaping up and I was like, oh, I think I like this one. She's like me. So I met her, played with her a little bit, very happy. Her name is Nova and I took her home. Nova was a pit bull mix, not was, is. She's a pit bull mix, and she had been used for breeding. So she was kept in a confined space, just constantly impregnated over and over again, just so that they could get the puppies. So she was not socialized. She didn't relate to other dogs very well. She was great with humans, but not with other dogs. And I took her home to my little apartment in Oakland, and loved her, definitely loved her. My friends used to laugh at me because I would take constant pictures of her and post them on Facebook. Like for about a year, my whole Facebook page was just like pictures of this dog because she was so beautiful. But as you can imagine, she had a lot of issues too from her previous life. We would go for walks. If another dog came along, she was like ready. So it was very stressful. As much as I loved her, it was really stressful. And I knew that I wasn't equipped to give her the life that she deserved. You know, I lived in an apartment. There was no yard to run around it. So after much discernment, I gave her to a friend of mine who she now lives with. And he's able to, you know, deal with her much better. And she's doing great. And I still get to see her every now and then. But you know, there's that element of sacrificial love, right? You want what's best for the other, so you sacrifice your own joy. I don't take any pictures anymore, just of myself. So, you know, the things that we learn from animals, or that we're reminded of by animals. I'm going to share with you from Graham Greene's The Power and the Glory. I confess to you, beloveds, that I am a frustrated English teacher. So this is Graham Greene. Are you familiar? Graham Greene, the writer. Sue and I were talking about casual reading. This is one of the last books I read casually. And even then, I got sermon material out of it. Right? It never ends. So anyway, this is a story about a priest in Mexico. And there's an anti-clerical purge. So he's on the lam, kind of. And he drinks. He drinks a little. So they call him a whiskey priest. But he... So he's on the run from the law, and the law is right behind him, and he, you know, encounters different groups, and what you know, it's all this dilemma of should they hide him, do they assist him, you know, because they also want the sacrament, you know, communion, speaking of communion. But at one point, he returns to a house where he was earlier in the story, and now the house is vacant, the people are gone, except for one animal, a dog. He only remembered that then the rains were a long way off. Now they were beginning to break. In another week, only an airplane would be able to cross the mountains. He felt around him with his foot. He was so hungry that even a few bananas would be better than nothing. He had had no food for 2 days, but there were none here, none at all. He must have arrived on a day when the crop had gone downriver. He stood just inside the door, trying to remember. There wasn't a sound anywhere. The day here hadn't yet begun with that first sleepy slap of a shoe on a cement floor, the claws of a dog scratching as it stretched the knock-knock of a hand on the door. There was just nothing, nothing at all. Then he heard a sound. It was like hope coming tentatively back, a scratching and a whining. This was what one meant by dawn, the noise of life. He waited for it, hungrily in the doorway, and it came. A mongrel dragging herself across the yard, an ugly creature with bent ears, trailing a wounded or broken leg, whimpering. There was something wrong with her back. She came very slowly. He could see her ribs like an exhibit in a natural history museum. It was obvious that she hadn't had food for days. She had been abandoned. Unlike him, she retained a kind of hope. Hope is an instinct only the reasoning human mind can kill. An animal never knows despair. Even Graham Greene, not to diminish Graham Greene, but Graham Greene sees it, right, in this dog, hungry, not eating for days, and yet something stirs and comes back to life to see what it is. Right there. Graham Greene. Yeah. The dog as a symbol of hope. Hope for us, showing us that there is always something more, always something to live for. Animals in general. And then, of course, we go to the other end of the spectrum. Cats. So last week, you might remember, I mentioned T.S. Eliot, the poet. He was normally a very serious poet, but he did write the collection of poems about cats, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. And one of the poems is called The Naming of Cats, and it speaks to the, well, you'll see. The Naming of Cats, T.S. Eliot. The naming of cats is a difficult matter. It isn't just one of your holiday games. You may think at first I'm mad as a hatter when I tell you a cat must have three different names. First of all, there's the name that the family use daily, such as Peter, Augustus, Alonzo, or James, such as Victor or Jonathan, George or Bill Bailey, all of them sensible everyday names. There are fancier names, if you think they sound sweeter, some for the gentlemen, some for the dames, such as Plato, Admetus, Electra, Demeter, but all of them sensible everyday names. But I tell you, a cat needs a name that's particular, a name that's peculiar and more dignified. Else how can he keep up his tail perpendicular, or spread out his whiskers, or cherish his pride? Of names of this kind, I can give you a quorum, such as Munskotrap, Quaxco, or Coricopat, such as Bombalorina, or else Jelliorum. Names that never belonged to more than one cat. But above and beyond, there's still one name left over, and that is the name that you never will guess, the name that no human research can discover, but the cat himself knows and will never confess. When you notice a cat in profound meditation, the reason, I tell you, is always the same. His mind is engaged in a rapt contemplation of the thought, of the thought, of the thought of his name. His ineffable, effable, effin' ineffable, deep and inscrutable, singular name. Who has cats? Is this, do you find this to be the truth, right? The cat will, you have a farm, right? The cat will sit there staring off into nothing, and you can look and there's nothing there, but they know. They know, and what they know is that they are beloved and divine. Cats know, and they show us that so are we. We are made of that divine stuff that the universe is made of. That firmament that sings the existence of God is the same thing that you're made of. But the firmament knows, and we forget. And the cat knows and reminds you over and over. They're not going to tell you. You have to work for it. But when you look at the cat and you see them, and you know what they're thinking, and they're reminding you, I am beloved of God, and so are you. Good and gracious God, immanent, transcendent, dwelling in these spaces between us, drawing us closer to you, closer to each other. You have shown us this week how you work through us, bringing joy to those around us, showing us in the most common and elemental way, a card that we are loved by others and by you. Help us to remember as we are out in the world that you are always present, loving us, caring for us, and help us to radiate that love back out to those around us. Being there for those who are suffering illnesses, being there for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, being there for those who are celebrating milestones, that their joy may be doubled. We lift up these prayers and all prayers in the name of our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. We have a litany on behalf of God's creatures here. I will read the plain text, and the response is, "Hear us, our Lord." Gracious God, you created the earth and all that is in it, and proclaimed it good. All this belongs to you, and yet we harm your creation. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to be champions of all those who suffer, so that we may be channels of your goodness. We give you thanks, O God, for the life and witness of the prophets who remind us of your true purpose, and for those special people who minister with tenderness to all living things. We give you thanks, O God, for animals who live in our homes, our farms, in the wild, and in havens of refuge. Make us aware of our stewardship of creation, and help us to be faithful in caring for all you have created. We pray today for animals who are mistreated in any way, for those who are tortured, deserted, abused, exploited, and used for unnecessary experimentation, and for those whose lives are spent in extreme confinement. Help us to stop abuse in any form. Open our mouths to the defense of the defenseless. And above all, open our lives to your ways. We ask forgiveness for the part we have all played in systems that employ violence and promote hardness of heart. We remember before you our companion animals who have died. We remember at this time also those animals who are lost or separated from their owners. Beloveds, I want to invite you, if you have pictures of your beloved animals, either on your phones or paper, to raise them up if you want to call out their names. I have a picture of maybe one or two pictures of Nova here. I invite you to do the same, and we'll hold them up and just state their names, and then we'll read this blessing together. O sweet maker of all, we ask your blessing on every creature gathered here today, the large and the small. May they live peacefully in praise of you. Bless us to love your creation and revere its sacredness. We ask this blessing in the name of the one who was, is, and always will be our creator, to whom every creature belongs. Amen.
Friends, let us love not only in our words, but also in our deeds through the tithes and offerings that we give today. And you can do that as you come for communion, if you wish.
Let us pray. As we offer our gifts here, a family is placing its tithe in another church. As we write our checks, a little child dumps coins from a piggy bank into the basket passing down the row. As we and they and our siblings everywhere respond to your blessings in our lives, may you gather them all up and use them in acts of kindness, of goodness, of justice, and of grace. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Another important plot element in Graham Greene's The Power and the Glory is the search by this priest for wine to use for the sacrament of communion. It's a Roman Catholic understanding that it must be wine. It can't be juice. It can't be coffee, it can't be tea. And yet, we, on a day like today, World Communion Sunday, recognize that communion can be formed with anything. Wherever two or three of us gather together, Olivette is wearing a shirt today with a Bible verse quote that says, 2 plus 3 equals Jesus. Wherever we gather, it doesn't matter what we're using. These common elements remind us that God is incarnate with us, loving us, and encouraging us to share that love with others. The table is open for all. And it doesn't matter what it is. Today we happen to have juice and crackers. If Jesus had been born in the 1950s in France, this communion meal might very well have been orange juice and croissants. If he had been born in New York City in 1983, it might have been coffee and a bagel. As someone pointed out this morning, if he had been born in Germany, it might have been sausage and beer. God is present in these common elements, and that is our reminder that God is always with us. May the God of all be with you. We will join our hearts with all of God's people, offering them to the God who loves us. With the voices of every tongue, of every faith, we will sing our praises to God. When there was nothing but your imagination, God of wonder, you thought, and the Spirit began to twinkle chaos with stars, moons, and planets. You spoke, and the Word began to call to life centipedes to march across the ground, sparrows to dart across the skies, and little kittens to lap milk. You laughed and shaped us in your image to offer all these things and more to us. But we were convinced we did not need you, and so chose to stay wrapped in our little cocoons, spun by sin and death. Over and over, in the dusty streets and urban centers, your prophets call us back to you. But we were set in our ways, not wanting to walk by your rivers of life. So that we might finally have life with you, you sent your child to us, so that all the world might be redeemed. With those whose hearts are filled with joy, with those whose lips tremble with questions, we lift our praises to you.
Holy, holy, holy are you, God of all, God of each. All creation everywhere joins in praising you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who calls us to the table of life. Hosanna in the highest.
In your holiness, God of creation, you could have stayed aloof, letting the world drift back into chaos, but you became one of us. In a little child, born in a place no one imagined, and to a family none would have picked. A little child, Jesus knew the hunger and fears of poverty and despair. A young boy, Jesus knew the doubts and questions of wondering about the future. A worker, Jesus knew the struggles to put food on the table. A storyteller, Jesus knew how to reach the deepest depths of the human heart. A servant, Jesus was willing to take on our death for us, so that in the power of the resurrection, sin and death lost their power over us. As we gather in grand churches and in open fields, as we feast on the finest bread and drink from crystal cups, we join our sisters and brothers in every place proclaiming the mystery. At altars carved from marble and tables shoved together, with people who are at the feast every time it is served, as well as those just stopping in, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon your children and on the gifts gathered, from the simple goodness of creation and set aside for holy use. In the bread that is broken, may we Be reminded of those places like Palestine and Israel, torn apart by ancient and modern fears. May we be strengthened to bring hope and help to flooded communities. May we become willing to listen to those who tell stories of unspeakable horrors from decades ago. In that cup, which is filled with grace, may we be called to welcome those who have been forced to flee from their neighborhoods, the neighborhoods they loved but now fear. May we gather up children who have been forgotten to be blessed by their resilience. May we commit ourselves to ending injustice in every place, in every person. And when all time has ended and the world as we know it is made complete, we will gather around that one table of grace, hope, peace, and love with sisters and brothers of every time and place, forever praising your name, God in community, holy in one. Amen. Beloveds, this is the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey. This table is open for you. This is God's love for you. Come, for all is ready. When you come up, do we have ushers? When you come up, you take one of these little cups and one of these small oyster crackers, step to the side. There are trays on either side where you can deposit your cups and then return to your seats down the side. Thank you. Our closing hymn is Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Please rise. And so, beloveds, as you go out into the world this week, labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God.